Father, thank you for your word today. I thank you for this message you put on my heart, and I pray that it would come out in the way, Lord, that you put it on my heart. And I pray, Father, that every heart would be open and receptive to hear it. We just thank you for a supernatural transaction today by the Holy Spirit into our spirits and into our minds in Jesus' name, a transaction of revelation that will change our lives, that will mark our lives forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22 says this, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." Praise God. In the Amplified Bible, it says it this way, "The blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it." And, you know, God wants us to work. The Bible talks about that. The Bible commands us to work and commends work and tells us work is a good thing. But here it says, you know, that toiling won't increase the blessing of the Lord. What is toiling? Toiling is overworking. Toiling is thinking it's all up to you. That won't increase the blessing of the Lord. So, but he says the blessing of the Lord is what makes a person rich. I was already talking about that a little bit this morning with the offering. But I want to expand on that today, and I want to speak to us today about esteeming the blessing. Esteeming the blessing. I want to ask this question to all of us this morning. Do we really understand and do we really value the blessing of the Lord in our lives? Have we really even thought about it much? Because he says here, the blessing of the Lord will make you rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. Now that doesn't qualify. That's just not for a certain few. You know, again, talking about some of the things going on in our country now, is a class warfare that's just evil. It's just a diabolical lie from the pit of hell. Pittings, well, those rich people over there, we don't like them. And we're mad at them because we're deprived and we've been without. And that's class warfare. And that's inspired by Satan to try to divide our nation. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord will make you rich. No matter who you are, no matter what your background, no matter where you come from. Amen. Come on. Woo. The blessing of the Lord will make you rich. Yes. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. All right. So we need to understand what that blessing is. And we need to value it. And we need to esteem it in our lives. And I want to ask this question. Are we living in such a way that we position ourselves for that blessing to be upon us? If we're not, then it's a pretty good indication that we truly don't esteem the blessing. Now, I want to take us to an example in Scripture. Two men, one man that esteemed the blessing of the Lord in his life, and another man that did not. And as a matter of fact, these men were brothers, and maybe you already know where I'm going, but I want to look at the story of Jacob and Esau in the book of Genesis. Now, Jacob and Esau, if you remember, they were twins. They are the sons of Isaac and Rebekah, and Rebekah was barren and couldn't have children, and Isaac prayed, and the Lord opened her womb, and she got pregnant, and she had there were twins in the womb. And Esau was born first, and then Jacob came out right after, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and thus he was given the name Jacob. The name Jacob means he grasps the heel, one who grasps the heel. And God had spoken to Rebekah about before the boys were born. You know, of course, they didn't have ultrasound in that day, yeah. Right? And she didn't know she was carrying twins. She could not have known that, but she just knew something was going on in there that felt strange. And so she asked the Lord about it, and here's what God said to her. We'll go to Genesis 25:23. "And the Lord said to her, Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. And notice this, and the older shall serve the younger. In other words, the younger is going to be in prominence. And that was something that was unheard of in that society, in that culture, in that day. There was so much emphasis and so much importance put on the firstborn. But he says the younger is going to serve, or the older is going to serve the younger. Now, boys were born, and the Bible goes on to say that Isaac loved Esau because Esau was a skillful hunter, and Isaac loved to eat. Esau would go out and hunt and prepare the wild game and bring it in, and Isaac would enjoy that. So Isaac really loved Esau and really wanted to give Esau the prominence and give Esau the best blessing. And you know, as the story progresses here, that one day Esau came in from hunting, and he probably had killed something in his hunting. But you know how it is. Has anybody ever you gone to the grocery store and you went grocery shopping, and it's right at dinner time, and instead of going home and cooking what you bought at the grocery store, you know, the way they've got, it's just a trap. The way they've got it set up out here, you pull out a Kroger, and there's Taco Bell, and there's Wendy's, and you know, if you're there with your spouse, you say, I know we got these groceries, but it's going to take us an hour to fix anything. Look, I'm starving. Here's Wendy's right here. Let's just go get something from Wendy's. Am I speaking foreign? Has anybody ever done that? Well, this is basically what Esau does right here. He comes in, and he's dragging whatever he's killed in hunting behind him, but he's saying, you know, it's going to take me 3 hours to get this ready to eat, and I'm starving. And Jacob is over here doing this. He has a pot of stew cooking, and he's fanning the aroma. He's fanning the aroma of it over to Esau as he sees Esau coming in. And Esau says, I'm famished. So let's pick it up in verse 25 of chapter, or 29. Verse 29 of chapter 25. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I'm weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. Edom means red. Or that was his nickname. Well, what's your name? My name's Esau, but you can call me Red. Okay. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me? Of course you can have the birthright. It's not worth anything. I'm starving. I'm going to die. Would he have? He probably had enough fat on him to live for, you know, several days. He wouldn't have died. But he was so hungry, and he was so dominated by his flesh, and he so lightly esteemed the birthright and the blessing, that he said, sure, give me a bowl of stew and I'll give you my birthright. He said, what good is this birthright to me? Verse 33, then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank and arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So we see right there that Esau did not esteem. Now, along with the birthright, that was connected with the blessing that was to be conferred on his life, all right? And he said, oh, well, I'd rather have the stew. But what was Jacob after? Jacob was after the birthright, wasn't he? And that was part, again, that was part of the blessing of the firstborn. And Esau, because he was just interested in instant gratification, he despised his birthright, it says. That means he didn't esteem it, all right? And he agreed to give it to Jacob for just that bowl of stew. And so then we go forward in time, years later. Isaac thinks he's about to die. He ends up not dying for a long time, but he thinks he's dying. And so he decides it's time to confer the blessing on his sons. And remember now, his favorite was Esau. Because Esau, he liked to eat the food that Esau got in hunting. And so he tells Esau to come in. And so he sends him out and he says, go and hunt game and bring it back. Bring me, make savory food for me that I may eat it. And then I'm going to bless you. I'm going to put the blessing on you. All right. And so Esau goes out to hunt. And in the meantime, Rebekah had overheard Isaac telling Esau, go and hunt and I'm going to bless you. She says, well, I got to get to work here. All right. Because her favorite was Jacob. All right. But now remember, she's got a scriptural basis for that. Because God had told her before the boys were born, the older is going to serve the younger. But Isaac hadn't gotten on board with that. Hello? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. All right. And so Rebekah tells Jacob, go and prepare food, dress up, pretend to be Esau, so he could get the blessing. And so Jacob does that, takes the food in. Isaac is suspicious at first. He says, come here, let me smell you. And he smells him and he says, oh, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Has anybody ever given you a compliment? But I said, you smell like a field. Well, that's why Isaac thought that this was the greatest smell ever. And he said, yep, this is Esau. He's been out in the field. He's been out hunting. That's got to be Esau. And so he gives Jacob, thinking he's blessing Esau, he gives Jacob his blessing, okay? And so here's what he says over him in Genesis 27, verse 28. He says, therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. Wow. That's a powerful blessing, isn't it? Well, within just a few minutes, Jacob leaves, and within a few minutes, here comes Esau, and he says, okay, Father, I'm ready. And he says, wait a minute. Wait, who are you now? Who are you? Who did I just bless? He's horrified at what's happened. But then he says this. He says, I'm sorry, son. He says, I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. I've blessed Jacob already. He said, there's nothing I can do to take that back. I've released those words. That blessing's been pronounced, and he shall be blessed. See, they didn't... Words meant something. Amen. Words meant something. They understood the power of words. They understood the power of a spoken word. They understood the power of a spoken blessing. And he said, I've released these words over him, and he shall be blessed. And Jacob, and that's what Jacob was after. Jacob understood that. He said, I want those words spoken over me. I want that blessing. He esteemed it. He valued it. All right. Now, verse 34 of chapter 27, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. The realization is starting to set in. Maybe I should have valued this blessing a little bit sooner. He said, bless me also, O my father. But Isaac said, verse 35, but he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I can't get on board with this. This is not Christian. This is not the way the Lord teaches us to operate. Are you telling me that it's right by any means, deceptive or otherwise, to go after a blessing? No, I'm not saying that. You're right. That's true. We shouldn't use deception. Amen. I'm not saying that. We shouldn't deceive or we shouldn't manipulate. We shouldn't do that in order to get a blessing. But there are some things we need to learn from this that I want to point out. The first one is this. The blessing was so important to Jacob that he was willing to do whatever was necessary to get it. How important is the blessing of the Lord in your life? Amen? Think about that. He esteemed and he valued the blessing of his father, which in fact was the way the Lord's blessing would be conferred on his life as well. God blessed Abraham. Abraham blessed his son Isaac. And now Isaac would confer that same blessing upon Jacob. It was really the blessing of the Lord being conferred on him. Esau, on the other hand, he didn't He didn't esteem it, but he despised the blessing until it was too late for him to get that prime blessing. Now, the book of Hebrews gives us a commentary on that. In Hebrews 12, let's go there. In verse 16, he says, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau." Esau is called a profane person. In the margin of my Bible, it says godless. Godless. Esau thought he could go out and live his life his own way, his own plan. He could make his own way. And this blessing, it wasn't that big of a deal. He didn't need it. That's being godless. That's saying, I don't need God in my life. Amen. I can do it. I can make this happen. All right. And he says, Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. He sought the blessing with tears, but he didn't repent. He didn't find any place for repentance. He was just offended. He was just mad because his brother had deceived him. He didn't look into his own life and say, well, wait a minute, the problem is really with me because I despise the blessing. Amen? All right. Now, so the second thing, so that's the first thing. Jacob esteemed the blessing. He was willing to do whatever to get that blessing. Again, I'm not saying that we should use questionable means to go after the blessing of God. No, I'm not saying that. But I am saying it ought to be so important to us that we're not willing to live our life without the blessing of God being over our life. Are you listening? That's what I'm saying. All right. Second thing that I alluded to earlier. Isaac was not on board with God's plan. The plan that had been revealed to Rebekah before the twins were born, the older shall serve the younger. So God had to work it out that Jacob received that blessing. Isaac wouldn't have been willing to give it. I don't know if he didn't believe what Rebekah had told him that God had shown her or what, or just the fact that he just loved Esau, but he didn't seem to be on board to call Jacob in and say, well, I know that Esau is older, but God has said you're going to be the prominent one, so you're going to get the blessing. It wouldn't have happened like that. God had to use those, or work through those what we would say questionable means in order to work his will. Amen? Amen. All right. So Jacob, we know the story that Jacob has to leave home because Esau wants to kill him now. Because Jacob has, in Esau's mind, stolen away his blessing. And Isaac does finally get on board with God's plan. And Jacob's getting ready to leave. And Isaac says, come back in here. I want to finish what I started here. I want to complete this blessing. So in chapter 28, verse 3, we see the completion of the blessing that is conferred by Isaac onto Jacob. He says, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So here he ties him in to this generational purpose that God started with Abraham. God called Abraham and he says, I'm going to take you to a land. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a blessing. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We know the ultimate result of that. That's Jesus. Because Jesus came through that line and through that seed. And because of Jesus, all of us, all the families of the earth can be blessed now. Amen. Praise God. And so he ties Jacob in to that divine purpose with that blessing. And so Jacob leaves, and on his journey, he comes to a place that later became known as Bethel. But he spent the night, and he has a dream. And he sees the angels of God ascending and descending back and forth from heaven. And God speaks to him. We won't read the dream, but God speaks to him at the end of the dream. in verse 15 of Genesis 28. And he says, "Behold, I'm with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I've spoken to you." Praise God. You know, that's God's promise to all of us. Amen. Whatever he's spoken to you about his plan for your life, he's not going to leave you till he's performed it. If you'll stick with him, if you'll continue to believe, if you'll follow him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 16, "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.'" I mean, this was a divine encounter. Perhaps the first encounter that he'd really had with God. God was the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, the God of his granddaddy and the God of his daddy. But now he's revealing himself to Jacob. Now Jacob is getting a revelation of who this God is. Verse 17, "And he said, 'I was afraid.'" He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And then we go to verse 20. "Then Jacob made a vow." Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me," God said he would, didn't he? Yeah. Amen. "If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God." Now watch this. "And this stone which I've set up as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." So that moment, that day, that moment, Jacob makes a vow. Jacob makes a decision that he's going to be a tither. Now, where'd that come from? Did that just come up out of thin air? Well, no. We know that his granddaddy Abraham tithed for sure. All right. So he pledges before God, "Of all that you give me, I'll surely give a tenth to you." He realizes that that's going to position him to walk in the blessing. Now, again, he remembered. I'm sure he'd heard stories, and it had been passed down to him about how his grandfather Abraham had tithed. Now, who did Abraham tithe to? Does anybody remember? Melchizedek. That's right. Melchizedek. All right. And what did Melchizedek do in response or in return to Abraham tithing to him? Anybody know? What did he do? He blessed him. He blessed him. If you go back to Genesis 14, we won't take time to look at that. But Abraham brought tithes to Melchizedek, and the Bible says that Melchizedek blessed him. He blessed him. And it's recorded also in the book of Hebrews. It talks more about that in the book of Hebrews, that Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Now, again, some folks think and have said that tithing, well, that's under the law. We don't need to tithe now because that's under the law. This was a long time before the law. This was hundreds of years before the law that Abraham tithed. All right. So tithing is before the law. Amen. Here's what tithing does. Tithing acknowledges, and I'm not doing, we're not going to take up another offering today. So I'm not doing this to try to get more money today. I'm doing this to try to help you to understand, to esteem the blessing of God. Amen. Amen. I hope you hear it that way today. Amen. All right. Praise God. So tithing acknowledges the greatness of God. And tithing acknowledges the authority of God. Jacob said, "This place is, this is the house of God." He has this encounter with God, and he says, "Of all that you give me, I'll surely give a tenth back to you." All right. And so it acknowledges the authority of God in our lives, and it recognizes this. Tithing recognizes that without Him, we would have nothing. Tithing recognizes and tithing acknowledges. When we tithe, we are acknowledging, "Lord, without you, I would have nothing." Amen. That's what tithing declares, and that's what it acknowledges. Amen. So Jacob goes to the land of his mother Rebekah's family. He meets Rachel. He falls in love. He ends up marrying her. He ends up marrying He gets her sister Leah in the deal as well. He didn't bargain for that, but Laban, his father-in-law, says, "No, you got to do it this way. If you want Rachel, you got to take Leah too in the deal." And so he begins his family. Okay, and he goes to work tending the flocks of Laban, who's his father-in-law. And then the time comes, he works 7 years to get Rachel. He thinks he's getting Rachel, and he works 7 years to get Rachel. And the Bible says he wakes up in the morning and it's Leah laying beside him. And so he says, "Hey, wait a minute." He goes to Laban and says, "What's up here?" And he says, "Well, it's not our custom to marry off the younger daughter ahead of the older daughter. Leah's the older daughter. She's got to get married first, so you get her." He says, "Well, I wanted Rachel." He says, "Well, you can have her too. Just work for me 7 more years. So they go ahead and get married. They didn't have to wait 7 more years to marry. They go ahead and get married. But then he stays and he works 7 more years. And then he works longer than that, about 6 more years. So he's worked for Laban for 20 years. And the time's come when he's ready to take his family and go back to his homeland. Verse 27, Laban said to him, "Please stay if I found favor in your eyes." Look at this now. "For I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Laban realizes, look, I realize I'm blessed because you're blessed. The blessing that's on you, I benefited from it. Amen. Amen? You know, sometimes we need to ask ourselves, what blessing are we walking in? What blessing are we living under? Are we living under the blessing of the Lord in our lives, or are we just living, as Dad Hagin would say, somebody's slopped over blessing? Amen? Dr. Lester Sumrall used to preach about Abraham and Lot, and about how Lot was just living on Abraham's blessing, because when they separated, everything went downhill for Lot, and Abraham kept prospering. So don't try to just get by on somebody else's blessing. Get the blessing of God for yourself. Esteem the blessing of God for yourself. Live under the blessing of God for yourself. Amen? All right. He says, and so Laban says, "Name me your wages and I'll give it." Verse 29, "So Jacob said to him, 'You know how I've served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now what shall I also provide for my own house? You've been benefiting from it, but I've not really been benefiting.' So they work out a deal that all the speckled and spotted sheep that are and goats would be his wages. So they separate those out, and then those that would be born that way, that would be Jacob's wages. So verse 43, we'll go forward to there of chapter 30. It says, "Thus the man," talking about Jacob, "became what? Exceedingly prosperous and had," what kind of flocks? "Large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys." That would be like saying SUVs and pickup trucks today. Not an SUV or a pickup truck. Not an SUV and a pickup truck, but SUVs and pickup trucks. Okay, all right. To give you an idea, he was blessed, amen. He had a fleet of vehicles. So Laban's sons complained and they accused Jacob. "Well, you came here with nothing, and everything you've accumulated is because of our father. You just stole it away from all of us." And so Laban starts listening to that. And verse 6, now Jacob is talking to Leah and Rachel. And he says this, "And you know that with all my might I have served your father, yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me." Why? Why, Jacob? Because he had made a commitment to God to live under the blessing of God, to be a tither. And even though Laban kept changing the deal, trying to change the details of the agreement, and say, "Well, no, yeah, I know I said that, but really I want to give you this." Even though he changed his wages 10 times, he says, "God," and he wasn't giving him 10 raises, it was going the other direction, you see. He says, "But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, 'The speckled shall be your wages,' then all the flocks were speckled. And if he said thus, 'The streaked shall be your wages,' then all the flocks were streaked." You can't do that in your own ability. You can't do that in your own power. That's the blessing of the Lord. And you and I need the blessing of the Lord over our lives. God doesn't want us just getting along the best we can manage and struggle alone. He wants us living under His blessing. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. So God, verse 10, so God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. All right. And then we go down to verse 11. He continues relating this account to his wives. And then he has another dream and experience with God. And I want you to notice this. Then the angel of the Lord, verse 11, spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said to me, lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. Don't think God doesn't see when someone tries to take advantage of you, when someone tries to keep you down, when someone tries to manipulate you or harm you financially or materially. Don't think that God doesn't see. He does. I've seen all that Laban is doing to you. Look at this now. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. The reason I've seen this and the reason I'm doing this for you, Jacob, do you remember what happened at Bethel? Do you remember when you had to leave home? Do you remember when I appeared to you and revealed myself to you? And do you remember the vow that you made to me there? You remember that you said, of all that you give me, I'll surely give a tenth to you. Well, Jacob, I've seen that you've done that. Jacob, I've seen that you've been a tither. And this is why I'm taking care of you. This is why I'm blessing you. This is why I've got my hand on you. This is why I'm working for you supernaturally. You're living under the blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So, Jacob and his family, they end up sneaking away and leaving Laban. And as he heads toward home, he gets word that his brother Esau is coming to meet him. And he has an entourage of 400 men with him, a small army. And Jacob naturally assumes that this is bad news. You would assume that too, because the last words he heard from Esau is, I want to kill you. All right. And so that was 20 years before, but he assumes that Esau's seeking revenge, and so he goes to prayer, and here's what he says in his prayer in Genesis 32 and 10. He says, I'm not worthy of all the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. He said, Lord, you've shown me mercy and you have shown me truth. Amen. Praise God. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff. When I left home, when I left here 20 years ago, when I was at this spot 20 years ago, when I crossed the Jordan, all I had was a staff in my hand and the clothes on my back. And now, he said, and now I have become two companies. And that's what he had done. He had divided part of all of his flocks and his people and everybody to go one direction and part in others. He says, well, if Esau comes and kills them, then these will escape at least. And so he says, I've become, he said, all I had when I left 20 years ago, all I had was a staff in my hand, but now I've become two companies. Why? Because of the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Because of the blessing of the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that night he has another encounter with God. In verse 24, then Jacob was left alone. He sent Rachel and his children on ahead, and you know, again, just to try to, you know, he thought it'd be better to separate everybody, so if, in case they get attacked. Jacob was left alone, and a man, capital M, okay, when it says capital M, that means it's the Lord. All right, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that the Lord did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go. The Lord said, let me go for the day breaks. I want you to listen to this. Look at what Jacob says. But he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. He esteemed the blessing of God so much that he wrestles with the Lord. Now again, don't misinterpret what he's saying here. It's not that God is trying to withhold blessings and we've got to somehow try to, are you kidding me? Wrestle with God to try to get his blessing wrestled away from him? No, that's not the point. The point is, Jacob said, I am not going to let you go unless you bless me. Your blessing, Lord, is so important to me. Your blessing is so valuable to me. I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to keep my fingernails dug into your clothes here. I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Amen. Is that our mindset today? Do we? I hope so. Do we esteem and value the blessing of the Lord in our lives to that degree? Now, Jacob was not content to live on yesterday's blessing. That's another thing here. He was not content. Oh, well, I've been blessed. Oh, well, I have that already. Oh, well, God's been good. No, he knew there was more. I said he knew there was more. And that's what we ought to be looking for. And he realized that God had more. Amen. And it was not just about material prosperity either. Because the next day, he actually encounters Esau. And incidentally, turns out a happy ending here. Esau's not mad at him. What he thought Esau was coming for revenge, but Esau was coming for reunion. The good thing. And so he tells the next day, though, he tells Esau, Esau says, here, I want to give you this. I want to give you this. I want you to have this. I want to give you the. And Jacob said, No, I don't. Because Jacob had already sent a present ahead to Esau. And he said, no, you take it. No, you take it. No, you take it. And finally, Jacob says this. He says, brother, he said, God has dealt graciously with me, and I have all. I have all. So it wasn't about material. When he was saying, I won't let you go unless you bless me, it wasn't about getting a few more dollars. It wasn't about having, you know, an increase of 1,000 more sheep in his flock. It wasn't about getting 6 more camels and 12 more donkeys. It wasn't about that. It wasn't just about material things. It was about mercy, and it was about truth. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So, do we esteem the blessing that way? And whoever's coming up, Reed or Mike? Okay, Mike, come on up. Yeah. Do we esteem and value the blessing of the Lord to that degree that we're willing to do whatever is necessary? Again, I'm not saying questionable means, but to do whatever is necessary to keep ourselves under the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Are we doing what's necessary to position ourselves for that blessing? There's a grace part, absolutely. We don't earn it. Just like it was determined before birth that Jacob would be blessed, he would be the prominent one. That's grace, right? Jacob didn't earn that. But Jacob esteemed that blessing, like we should. Jacob sought that blessing, as we should. You know, and again, people, you get funny ideas. People say, well, it's wrong to seek the blessings of God. We should just seek God. Well, it didn't seem like it was wrong for Jacob to seek the blessing here. Yes, we should put God first. Yes, we should desire Him. But it's not wrong to seek the blessing of God over our lives. It's not a greedy thing. It's actually humility to say, Lord, I can't make it without Your blessing. Lord, I need Your blessing over my life. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's New Testament reality right there. We have been blessed. I said we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's been declared over us. Amen? Praise God. Now look at this one, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham, that was the blessing that was over Jacob. Isaac said, may God bless you with the blessing of Abraham before he sent him out. All right? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That's us. Amen? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. So because we're in Christ, the blessing of Abraham is over our lives. Amen? But do we value it? Do we esteem it? Do we live our lives expecting that blessing, seeking that blessing, making sure that we're living under that blessing, acknowledging, conscious of? I believe we should. I believe we should. Amen? Hallelujah. And tithing, the tithing part of it that we've talked about today, that's a principle and that's a practice that transcends old and new covenant. It's not just old covenant, but it's new covenant as well. And it's acknowledging, again, it's acknowledging that God is our source and that everything that we have comes from Him. And we would do well to say like Jacob, and I know many of you do and you have, and I pray that this message is just a confirmation and an encouragement to you to continue in it. Amen. Be steadfast. But we would do well to say like Jacob, of all that you give me, I'll surely give a tenth to you. Not out of legalistic duty, but out of anticipation of the blessing. Amen. Now here's one more thing. I wanted another area. See, the tithing is not the only way that we position ourselves and walk in the blessing. It's a major way. It's an important way. But here's something I want to add to 1 Peter 3, verse 9. Look at this. What Peter says, he says, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, what? Blessing. That means your words. That means your words. He's talking about our words here. When someone does evil to you, when someone reviles you, he says, don't return evil for evil. Don't return reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this. Said, Pastor, I don't know what I'm called to do. Right here it is. Pastor, would you pray for me that God would show me what His calling for me is? It's right here. Don't need to pray. It's right here. Read it. Amen? Yes, certainly there are specific things. I understand that. But here's what we're called. All of us, we're called to this. We're called to return blessing for reviling. Amen? You were called to this. Why? That you may what? Inherit a blessing. Inherit a blessing. This is the way we inherit the blessing. This is the way we live under the blessing. By watching our words. By not returning evil for evil. Not returning reviling for reviling. Not using our words to tear down and criticize and judge and condemn. But using our words to bless. And speaking words of blessing over our own lives. Amen. That we may inherit a blessing. Verse 10, for he who would love life and see good days. How many want to see good days? Good days. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. That's the way we position ourselves under the blessing. Blessing's been provided. Blessing's been made available. We access it by faith. But then we also, there are these actions that we've talked about, tithing and then speaking right, having a right heart, a right attitude, seeking peace, that position us in that place where we can fully experience the blessing. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live my life without the blessing of God on it. I don't want to live my life without the blessing. Amen? We're called to live under the blessing. The blessing of Abraham has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And we're called to live under that blessing. Amen? We're called to thrive and to be successful and to prosper and to be victorious in every area of our life because that blessing is on us. Because that blessing is on us. Amen? I want to pray for us this morning. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters today. And Lord, I pray if there's anybody that is here today, they've never given their heart to you. They've never asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of their life. I pray for them today that they would make Jesus the Lord of their life. I thank you, Father, right now. Your word says whoever comes to you, that you will in no way cast them out, but you'll receive them. And so, Father, I pray right now for those that need to come to know you. Lord, I